Mark Valesky, winner last Saturday, the Grade 2 Peter Pan at Belmont, is a 3-year-old colt by a proud citizen. Believe You Can, winner May 4th, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, is a 3-year-old filly by a proud citizen. Went the day well, winner of the 2012 Grade 3 Vinery Racing Spiral Stakes and a fast closing fourth, beating just 2.5 lengths. In the Kentucky Derby is a 3-year-old colt by a proud citizen. He goes today in the Preakness. Vamo a Galliopierre, winner this year of the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes and a champion 2-year-old and Grade 1 Stakes winner in South America, is a 5-year-old mare by proud citizen. Ms. Ider, winner of the 2012 running of the Allen Lacombe Memorial at the Fairgrounds, that's a 3-year-old filly by a proud citizen. Trickmeister, winner Thursday of the $90,000 Van Landingham Stakes at Belmont Park, is a 5-year-old horse by a proud citizen. Fiddler's Patriot, winner yesterday of the Jim McKay Turf Sprint Stakes at Pimlico, is a 6-year-old horse by a proud citizen. Whew, that's hard to keep up with. Proud citizen. So I have 2 winners of the classic Kentucky Oaks, book full at Airdrie Stud. Home also of the Stallions, Badger Silver, Brother Derek, Divine Park, Flashy Bull, Hayesfield, Include, Is Stan, Majestic Perfection, and Stevie Wonderboy. For more information and possible breeding incentives for late-booking mares, call the farm, 873-7270. Check the website at airdreestud.com. And Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud, of course, where the Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center, and it's been a pretty busy day of clocking. I think we had 51 works today at the training center. What are we going to do today? Gary Assinger, or he owns War Horse Place, got some horses over out here in training. He's going to stop by. At about 11 o'clock, Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen are going to stop by also. They're on their way. Doc went to pick up Michael, and that's always an experience, I'm sure. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. I want to ask him about the Preakness, but he does the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, so maybe he'll give us a winner at Churchill. We got a new book, Boots and Saddles, and it's written by the son of Commander J. K.L. Ross, who owns Sir Barton. It's a great book, written, published back in the early 1950s. I may read some excerpts from that. He wrote about Omar Khayyam and some others. Of course, Jackie's announcements. And I have Dr. Dwayne Markham here with me today. And Dwayne, good morning.
Good morning, Ursel. How are you doing?
I'm just fine and dandy.
Good. Thank you.
Lovely day. You're going to kind of update us on what's going on with the State Racing Commission and so forth with the Salix. High in hell, you would say it.
Yep, lazy. See, Salix, eat forwards or backwards. It depends on where your dyslexia comes in.
Well, all right.
I think it's going to end up being a fairly hot topic, even once it. There's going to be a couple of public forums available. I don't know if those dates have been set yet, but within the commission and even the Drug Research Council, it's been discussed and batted back and forth, and it's going to be a tough issue. I think there's science to support the use, and certainly there's a sentiment that it's not good for racing. I think Gary Lavin summed it up pretty well, that Lasix is good for racing but bad for the sport, and I think there's considerations on both sides, so we need to take a hard look and see what the science is, and try to keep some of the emotions to the downside.
Well, I think it's good for the horse.
Absolutely.
That should be the bottom line, my book.
Really. I agree. And that's the veterinarian's position. That's the position the International Association, the AAEP, American Association of Equine Practitioners, they've taken that position. The KAEP, the Kentucky Association of Equine Practitioners, has the same position, that it's certainly beneficial to the problems that horse has to go through, and it's a therapeutic medication. It is not performance enhancing, in our opinions, and it's what's best for the horse, and I think we need to keep that first and foremost.
Yeah. We were talking earlier before the show, and my idea was, like you say, go back to the old way. It used to be that you had to have a proven bleeder before you put him on it.
Right, right. And as you say, in early days, we scoped a lot of those horses after. And we always scope those horses. That's about the best. The scope's probably one of the best diagnostic tools that we've got for checking the respiratory ailments. And I think there are plenty of horses that don't need Lasix. But the fear of the chance to bleed that's our hedge against the chance for a problem. And it's certainly expensive for the owners when they start to bleed. And I think if we eliminate Lasix, then it'll certainly become more expensive because the ailments will go. But I think we need to understand too that the challenge or the proposals that are in place right now are not for a ban on all horses racing. It's only a stair-step implementation of a ban from two-year-olds of graded stakes next year and three of the following year and four. So it's a three-year incremental plan. And I think part of that effort is based on a concern that the American horses are not desirable for the international segment to buy, and that there may be some thoughts that there's a genetic selection that we're weakening the breed by allowing these horses to race on Lasix. But the genetic selection theory, I think, really needs to be challenged.
There's no proof of that.
Agreed. And I think the geneticist needs to be brought in on that. And to change a breed over 25 years, that doesn't follow up. Only a blip in the radar of a genetic problem. Yeah. And a good friend of mine was commenting, and he's into genetics pretty well, and we've had some discussions. But if we want to look at genetics, we need to look at the mama, because she's a major contributor to what the problems are, the good points and the bad points. A lot of it comes from mama, or the dam.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going to happen? What's your opinion, dude?
Well, I think hopefully we come to a compromise. I think one of the biggest fears is that if we choose these bans on Lasix at any level, that it may put Kentucky, and has been described as out in an island, because no other jurisdictions are currently banning Lasix at any point. It's still
that might be the coup de grace as far as racing goes around.
I think that's the scare. Yeah, yeah, and there's some of the proposals have hinted that okay, we can implement this regulation and then have it as a caveat that if other jurisdictions don't follow, then we don't implement the regulation. Well, that's kind of a hard point to get the Legislative Research Commission to accept. It'll be pretty difficult to write that in a regulation. So I think it's going to be the breeders, the owners, the trainers, everybody's going to have to come to the table. And it's still up to the owner and the trainer to decide whether they run a horse on Lasix or not. It's a decision. So I don't know that a regulation really is necessary. If there's that strong of an opposition to the use of Lasix, then leave it to the owner and the trainer to decide. Or let racetracks write races for horses with no Lasix. You can certainly have combo racing. So I think between the racetracks and the owners, they could implement their own measures to support or not support the use of Lasix from that aspect of it.
I wonder what would happen if they did that and the one with no Lasix races wouldn't fill.
Well, I think that would be
that might prove a point.
That would be the gangplank to be on. And I think that's the fear that they would not fill. It's going to come up for a good debate, and it probably is healthy. It's going to be tough on the industry, but I worry that Kentucky, if we do go to it, is their other states won't follow. Now, we've had some assurances that New York might be following, but until it happens, Kentucky's just such on an edge right now. I just don't know if we need to jump into it right now.
Yeah, edge of more ways than one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gee whiz, that's interesting. I wonder when they're going to have these forums. Have they announced the date?
I don't think they have yet. No, I sent a text out to one of the council members and if they had decided yet. But if it was decided, I haven't heard. But as soon as it does come out, I'm sure it'll be aware. And I tell you a little plug for a website that Gene Klaibs has got going is KentuckyForward.com, KY Forward, FORWARD.com. I spoke with him this morning, and he's wanting to get kind of a forum, a blog, to get education more than anything else. He's not picking a side, and I think we can submit posts without it getting into a really emotional debate and stay on the facts. But that as soon as that becomes available, then I feel certain it'll be on his website. So it might send some people to do some activity on that blog if they've got opinions and get them out and get people educated and learn what's really happening.
What was it again? What's the blog?
It's www.kyforward.com. KYFORWARD.com, and that's okay. Gene Klaibs runs that site there. Okay. And people remember Gene Klaibs. He was one of the key guys in the grassroots effort with KEEP years ago, and so he's very much a horseman for all horses, not just the thoroughbred, but all horses. Yeah. So,
okay.
Good website.
All righty. Anything else, Wayne?
Mm-mm. That's all I got for now.
Well,
you want to let the Masters come in?
Keep it. Oh, that's no bad. That's just Chris McCarron over there. He brought a real cute girl with him. Mallory,
yeah,
how are you?
Yeah. Actually, we could a couple of phrases. You talk about jockeys and so forth. Jerry Bailey at the close of the Derby interviews, they were talking to him about medications and so forth, and he said he certainly wanted to feel what was underneath him. He did not have any, never wanted to not feel what was underneath him, but he said Lasix would be one of the last things that he would be worried about right now. So
yeah.
I guess that's from a pretty well-respected source.
There. I would think so.
Yeah, we need to learn about it and need science to support it, need money to support the science.
Anything new happens, just stop by. Feel free to stop by.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Ursel.
All right.
Thank you all.
All right. I'm going to do a commercial break, and you're hanging around for a reason, Chris.
I'm here to promote High Hope.
You're here to promote High Hope?
Yep.
All right. Be right with you. Well, he sired 5 stakes winners, including a champion 2-year-old filly in his first crop. His 11% of first crop stakes winners is number one among his first crop peers. Better than those of Medallia Dodo, Candy Ride, Spitestown, Pleasantly Perfect. Sent to Europe, he's already sired an impressive 2-year-old winner there. He won 5 graded stakes, including grade 1 stakes at Churchill, and he earned nearly $800,000. He's by noted sires from a superior stakes family. That's Stroll, fee, $5,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Now, Stroll's first foal since his return to the USA are yearlings. Watch for them at the upcoming sales. And if you have a late-booking mare, call Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm, 233-4252, and inquire about possible special consideration. Stroll is my pulpit. Sire also, the leading sire, Tappet, fee $125,000 live foal. Flatter's fee again, $5,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses. For more information, check the website at claibornfarm.com. And Bernie's number again is 233-4252.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
The Pin Oak Stallions, Bob and John, Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Bob and John's a sire of 32 winners in his first crop, 2 stakes horses. They're winning at major tracks from coast to coast and on every type of racing surface. Bob and John, a grade 1 stakes winner of over 996,000, is by Seeking the Goal. Out of graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister. Broken Vow is the sire of 11 stakes horses already this year. 6 have won stakes, including graded stakes winners Done Talking and Lonesome Street. The sire of 4 grade 1 stakes winners, Broken Vow, is by Unbridled Out of Wedding Vow by Nijinsky II. Cowboy Cal won 5 graded stakes, ran 2nd in 3 grade 1 stakes, and 3rd in another, earned more than $1 million. By champion Sarah Giants Causeway out of Texas Tammy by Seeking the Gold, Cowboy Cal's first foals, superb individuals, are yearlings. Scott Classic, inside 58 stakes winners, 6 champions, and 104 stakes horses. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic earned over $3,320,000, and he is by Nijinsky II out of a Broodmare of the Year. For more information, get in touch with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the web is clear, can do.
Come over here, Mallory, we want a celebrity on. It's Chris McCarron. Oh, thank you. All right, what's going on?
Well, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. We're here to promote the High Hope Steeplechase Day tomorrow. I hope you're going to be one of the maybe tens of thousands of people that are going to be out there. And the weather's supposed to be awesome, unlike last year when we had torrential downpours. And this beautiful young lady sitting to my right is going to ride against me tomorrow.
And
against
you.
Several
and
others.
And Mallory.
Yeah. With a fourth race on the card of a five race card tomorrow. The first race is at 1:45. Terrier races are at 12 at noon. The Terrier races start. 1:45, the first steeplechase race will run. My nephew Matthew's coming in town.
Okay.
He rides all three of the steeplechase races. And then the fourth race on the card, which will be run at 4 o'clock, is the NARA graduation race.
Okay.
And Mallory came down here from Belmont. She's been working for Billy Mott since January.
Okay.
And she's learning her trade very well. Billy's been a great tutor for her. And she's getting on horses every morning at Belmont Park. Yeah. So she got on Mike's horse, Curmudgeon, this morning. And I was on the pony. We walk out here and she goes, "Oh, my God, this track is so small."
It ain't Belmont.
She said, this is just a little bigger than the pony track we have up there.
How soon we forget.
Yeah.
Well, I never forgot, but when I get back on it and then you feel like you look at it, it's so small. And
so narrow.
Belmont's wide, very, very wide.
Oh, I know. Yeah. When do you think you're going to start riding races?
Oh, I don't have a time limit.
You don't have?
I just go with it.
Well, you might be 16 years old now, so you know you got it. time's not a problem, is it?
No.
Yeah.
The main problem she's going to have is finding mounts because, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah, she's probably going to have to get a facelift. She's going to have to do something with that
whatever.
Face. And those eyes, you know, the smile. She's going to have a lot of trouble getting into barns.
No, don't believe that. Everybody want to give you a leg up.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. You've been having fun?
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning experience. It's nothing like easy, and like here, a lot more people want to help here up at Belmont, the school, hard school, you know, it's not easy, but it's fun. It is fun.
How many horses you get on a day now for Billy?
About six.
About six?
Yeah.
Any of the
five
ones?
Or six.
You putting on any of the real good ones yet?
Well, we'll see. Saturday, I ride this horse on Night Sight, so.
Well, didn't you breeze Bird on one day?
Yeah, I worked Bird Run. Yeah, he was good.
It's a grade two winner.
Well, yeah.
And Wrestler Hustler.
That's a big horse, for God's sake.
Yeah. I just wish I could do more.
In Billy's barn, he's just, you know, he's not that big a horse in Billy's barn. He's got so many grade one winners, you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't ever get on Royal Delta, but I get to pet her.
Now, doesn't he train for Judmont now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he did. Well,
yeah,
they've got nice horses.
Yeah, Nightsight, that's one of the horses I gallop, and he's in Saturday. He's going to do good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-oh, we've been touted.
Nightsight. Well, keep your eye on that horse.
I'll go to the bank on the way home.
Yeah, all right. We'll bet two for the clock.
Get a little cash.
First time, 4 o'clock. He's the sixth.
And he's, Mallory is riding a horse today called Ease. This horse was donated to us. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Did I say today?
Yeah.
Sorry. Tomorrow. I'm confused. I got so much going on. She's riding a horse that was donated to us by Darley. He's an E-Dubai gelding.
Oh, okay.
And I made him 8 to 5 in the morning line.
Oh,
so she better not mess it up.
You going to put him on the lead, Mallory?
Secret.
And I'm going to ride a filly that Bill Wofford used to own. He donated her to us. Her name is You Jest, and we call her Joker.
Okay.
Big 17-hand roan filly. She's 4 years old. And I'm just going to be going alongside Mallory, trying to coach her a little
plan.
Bit.
I'm going to be going right off of you.
Uh-huh. Have you
ridden this course out here at High Hope yet?
No.
Have you seen it? Have you been over it?
I've seen it. I haven't walked it yet.
You better get out there and take a look at it.
Yeah.
We're galloping over it this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're shipping the horses over there at 2 o'clock, and we're going to saddle them up and take them for a little trial run around the course, mainly to get them schooled with the paths that go across the track. You know, those tan bark paths that the vehicles use to go from the outside to the infield, there's three of them, and I like to be able to take a horse back and forth across those just so they don't prop or jump, you know, when they get to it.
Yeah. You know, I've often wondered. Coming down the hill on the grass at Santa Anita, and they have to cross the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Do they school them especially for that?
Every post parade, the only times I wouldn't gallop back and forth across it is if I've been on that horse several times and he's run down that hill before. But it's not so bad in the mile and a quarter, mile and a half, mile and three quarter races because you're just sitting hard against them and they go across it pretty well. But the 6.5 furlong races, a lot of the horses will get to it and jump. They usually duck out a little bit, and they almost automatically change leads, which causes them to go out even more because they don't negotiate the turn as effectively on their right lead. And since they're still on the turn, they go ahead and drift. So if you play it right, you can get through on the inside quite often. If you're sitting right in behind the leaders and you know they're going to go out a little bit, which they almost always do, you can scoot up in there and get through and make it look good.
Now, have you got a little bit to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about thinking ahead, right, Mallory?
Mm-hmm.
You got to think
just
a 1/16 of a mile ahead. You got to anticipate.
Yeah.
Well, you just came in from New York then.
Yeah.
He let you off to come down here and do this.
Yeah. I had to actually fix a couple racing trunks, repaint them, and fix them up to get a couple of days extra off.
That was your dues?
Yeah.
He made you pay dues?
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, that's a deal.
Did you get any paint on your fingernails? No.
Well,
I remember watching you ride out here, and I think I told you, Chris, and you agreed that, I get to watch these kids a lot, and that you were the best of the crop.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, kind of stood out, I thought.
Yeah, she looks very good on a horse, and she's got good horse sense.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Are you looking forward to actually ride races? Or?
I am, but I'm trying to be as patient as I can. Like, when I first got to the school, I just wanted to rush. I wanted to go. I wanted to get into everything. I'm like, I'm ready. Let's go. But I realized you got to set back, and you don't know everything. You never will know everything. And time. Give it time. And when it's ready, it will happen.
Yeah.
So.
When you know when you're ready to ride races. Well, that's great.
Charlie Whittingham used to say, all those proteges that I have out there, I taught them everything they know. I just didn't teach them everything I know.
Okay.
But I'm the opposite. I'm trying to teach these kids everything I know. I'm trying to, but it's hard in a very short 2-year period of time.
Really hard.
But I keep in touch with the graduates. And we got 2 more yesterday, so we're 4 wins shy of 1,300 victories.
Is that right?
They went over $20 million in purse earnings last week. So
that's real good.
Thank you. Yeah, we're pretty proud of it. And also, I think I told you last time I was on, Ryan Pacheco got the Sovereign Award up in Canada.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Our leading apprentice last year.
Oh, we got somebody texting here now. Okay.
Thank you very much. High Hope tomorrow. Gates open at 10 o'clock,
okay.
Or 11 o'clock, rather. Terrier race is at 12. The first steeplechase race is at 1:45. There are 3 of them. Our race is at 4 o'clock, and then they're bringing back the Sportsman's Challenge, except it's ladies' Sportsman's Challenge this year.
Oh, okay.
So Mark McEntee has about 15 ladies going to be riding in the last race out there today, 1 mile around the course.
You're just riding the one race, Mallory?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just
going to
ride.
Okay. Is the fix in? That's what I want to know. Is it the...
Well, can't say.
Go. All right. Well, there's no gambling out there anyway. Listen. Hell, I might go out there and do a little booking, you know.
Mallory just showed me a photograph that she took of Indian Charlie's sheet. Okay? And he's got the comparison between Chris McCarron's riding school and the Dickie Small race riding school. Dickie Small is a very well-known trainer in Maryland, very successful trainer.
Who's been going for how many years with that?
He's brought kids under his up from underneath his shed row and turned riders into them many, many times. And here's his list: Rosie Naprovnik, Andrea Seafelt, Forrest Boyce, Jerrilyn Brown, and Mary C. Brock. Chris McCarron graduates. Jockey No Boy, Ned the Coachman, Jockey No Boy. Ed Musselman, he's a funny son of a gun, Indian Charlie.
Yeah. I prefer the horse.
Right. Thanks a lot, Ursula.
See my hat, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's my Indian Charlie hat.
Beautiful.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for coming by, Mallory. It's good to see you again,
huh?
We miss you around here.
I know. It's good to see everyone.
Well, come back and see us.
I will.
All right.
Definitely.
Okay.
Bye, Ursula.
Bye-bye. Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Empire Makers climbed to the top of the 2012 sire list. Through the first 4 months of the year, according to stats published in the Blood Horse, he ranked number 1. Listed among his five 2012 graded stakes winners is a brilliant Bodemeister, the likely favorite in today's Preakness. First defense is by a leading Siren Bridle song out of a half-sister to Empire Maker. His dam is the exceptional race mare Honest Lady, a half-sister not only to Empire Maker, but also to the outstanding but ill-fated sire, Chester House. Like Empire Maker, a grade one stakes winner of nearly $2 million and a grade one sire. Honest Lady by Seattle Slough won the Grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap, the Grade 2 A Gleam, the Grade 2 Distaff Breeders' Cup Handicap, and Grade 2 Santa Ynez Stakes. She took on the boys and ran second in both the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and the Grade 1 Metropolitan. Honest Lady was some kind of runner, and so was First Defense. Winner of the Grade 1 Four Gold, the Grade 3 Jiper, and the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes, First Defense, was a brilliant sprinter with the ability to carry speed around two turns. Stands at Dudmont Farm, whom also the Grade 1 winner and the Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, my good friend Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com is his website, and his phone number is 277-2030, and he is the premier real estate agent here in, or broker here in central Kentucky. Got great property for sale. Got that website. You check that website. It's fun to go on there. You can just check what he's got on there. I want to bring up one place specifically, and it's over on Pisgah Pike, historic Pisgah Pike. 3615 is the address. Gorgeous place. It's the residence was built in 1856 and has been cited as one of the finest examples of antebellum architecture in all of Kentucky. And it's been refurbished and renovated in every detail. It's a great place. It's 28 and a half acres and five-stall barn and some plank fences. And it's just, if you're looking for a nice place to... And a show home, well, boy, that is it. And, you know, Elk has a place over in DeLong Road that's just a 12 acres, beautiful mature trees and landscaping. And the house is 4,548 plus square feet, so it's a real big place. And like it's on DeLong Road. There's several places over on where I live, over close to where I live on Clay Kaiser. There's got a couple of nice pieces of property over there. So if you're thinking about selling your place or if you're looking for a farm, I would suggest that you get in touch with Tom Biederman. That's BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. And Tom's phone number is 277-2030. A great guy to do business with. So stop in and see him or give him a call. Well, no biz like showbiz with some kind of racehorse. In three starts at two, he broke his maiden by over 10 lengths at Belmont, won the Grade 2 Remsen, ran second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Champagne, and was assigned third high weight of 122 pounds on the experimental handicap. At three, won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, the Grade 2 Jamaica Handicap, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes, the Grade 3 Kent Breeders' Cup Stakes, the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, and placed in the Grade 2 Dwyer and the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. 12 of his 13 lifetime starts were in graded stakes. He won 3 graded stakes on dirt and 3 graded stakes on the grass. Retired with earnings in excess of $1,544,000. No biz like showbiz is one of 2 millionaires by Albert the Great. Albert the Great, a grade 1 stakes winner, more than $3 million. And his dam is a grade 1 producer by Stormcat. No biz like showbiz stands at Crestwood Farm with the stallions Kipling, Matata, Noble Causeway, Tis Deja Vu. Call 252-3770. Ask for Pope McLean, Phil Hager, or Robert Keck about possible breeding incentives for late booking mares. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm hitting down the highway, happy
here. All right, I've got Dr. Doug Bauer here with me. You've been waiting very patiently. Where's Michael today?
Michael lost a horse last night. Leave Seattle.
Oh.
So he was waiting for the hearse to come and get it.
Oh, okay.
Get him. And so he called me, and I was doing a couple of chores, so I left my phone in the car for just a few minutes. Then I got the message, and I went on down there. Mm-hmm. Dr. Wolfsdorf had already been there from Haggard, and she's a great gal. So she euthanized him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was down, couldn't get up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I did a post-mortem spinal tap on him, and it was all bloody. Now, it could have been in one of the sinuses.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he could have found a way to break his neck. So we don't know. Mm. Michael's getting him hauled down to the university and he'll get a post-mortem.
Yeah. Is he going to come by?
He said he was.
I hope so, because Jackie's got a tour that's supposed to go with him.
Uh huh.
To meet him here. You might want to remind him of that.
Well.
You got a phone?
I left it in the car.
All right. Well, you can wait till you get off or go ahead and get through. But
you
can use my phone, whatever.
We'll just go ahead and see if we can hotline him.
All right. Get him on there.
And so.
She had some people that came by that they're over talking to Don Combs. Well, no, they went to talk to Don. Don is our resident Kentucky Derby trainer, you know.
Yep.
And then they went to with Matt Howard over to Gentry Farm, and Matt's showing them foals and all that stuff, you know.
Right.
And then they were going to come back here and meet Michael.
So, Michael, I'm here with. Oops, I'm here with Ursel, and they want to remind you you've got a tour over here. Okay. Okay. All right.
It'll be it'll be a while before they get here.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be great. Okay.
See, this is live radio here. We get things done. Okay.
Quit cussing, Michael. We're on live radio.
Yeah, we hear every word you're saying, Michael.
Okay.
All right. All right, Doc, what do you got for us today?
Well, I always kind of cling to something I've looked at that has a clinical problem, and I think we've talked superficially about tying up before.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a horse I needed to look at, and he was pretty happy by the time I got over there to look at him. He's a 3-year-old gelding.
In training?
In training. And, of course, geldings are, fillies will outdo, as far as tying up.
I had a filly used to tie up just when she was in heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people try to knock them out of heat. In fact, some of the treatments, which don't really work very well, put those fillies on progesterone.
Yeah, right.
Do things to make them think they're pregnant, so they'll stay out. And then, instead of giving them the injections of progesterone, Regimate is the oral thing. But again, it doesn't seem to quite do as well. So,
want a cough drop?
I got one down here.
One Coke. Got a Coke over there.
No, I'm good. So, anyway.
I had the coughs last week.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. I get it periodically.
Allergies.
I'm probably over the hill.
Oh.
we'll talk about coughing horses at some point.
All right.
But anyway, tying up is myositis. Myo being the muscle.
Yeah.
Itis, it's inflamed. And it's called azoturia, which is the old term for Monday morning disease, when the wagon horses would get their day off on Sunday, and then they wouldn't change their diet, and they'd go out and it would tie up.
I had one gilding once that. I had to work him every day. I mean, not breeze him every day, but he had to get his exercise.
Right. And that's a big point. If you've got a horse that's a chronic myositis, you got to train through it.
Yeah.
You got to train through it. If you can't put them on the shelf and rest them and then bring them back. No. You're going to do the same thing.
Exactly.
So there are three main mechanisms that are kind of blame for these chronic myositis horses. And so one of them is electrolyte imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
You got a horse that sweats up pretty good and he loses his calcium and his sodium chloride. Yeah. And then for the first time ever, he ties up. Well, potassium is the one that's blamed the most. And there is a blood test you can do, which reasonably uncommon, called intracellular potassium, because potassium does live in the cell. You can pull a blood sample, and the potassium is normal in the serum. So you get fooled there. But when you look at the intracellular potassium, you might find that it's low. It's been depleted. So those horses need to be replaced, and most commonly you use potassium chloride, which if you can't get straight potassium chloride, then you go to the grocery store and you get light salt, mm-hmm. and 50% sodium, 50% potassium chloride. And you put an ounce on top of their feed twice a day. That's one thing you can do. One of the other causes is genetic, or a heritable trait. So we know that warm-blooded horses and quarter horses tend to have a tendency, no matter what you're doing, to tie up. So they're the ones that, you know, you wind up doing muscle biopsies and getting very sophisticated because they have what's called glycogen storage disease. They store all of this energy in the muscle, but they can't release it properly. So that's another potential cause. Besides electrolytes, membrane of the muscle can become chronically inflamed. And so that inflammation kind of touches on the muscle, and then the muscle goes into spasm. And so for those, and those are severe ones.
Yeah.
And you use drugs like Dilantin or Phenantoin, and the problem with those drugs is they're inconvenient to give. They're not too expensive, but you get these little capsules, and you have to, you know, pull them out, although you can probably get it compounded, but they get depressed on that.
Yeah.
So the other thing that happens is, for some reason, the blood vessels go into spasm. So that's called ischemia, or a lack of blood flow. So when you get a leg cramp, that's probably what's happening. You got a little lack of blood flow. And so a lot of veterinarians and the trainers will give like a cc dose of acepromazine. And that relaxes the, what we call the sphincter muscles in the capillaries.
Yeah.
So then they get improved blood flow, and they train on it. They train on it just like people will train on Lasix for bleeders. So anyway, that's another of the mechanisms. The so you, again, going back, you got the membranes, you have electrolytes, you have a lack of blood flow, and then you've got a genetic component that can cause the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, you treat it with potassium chloride. You treat it with corn oil. We know that fats and omega fatty acids will lower or take the inflammation away. And so that, and then you keep training on it. Now, if the horse is really locked up and you have azoturia, then you're in trouble, because they'll urinate kind of a brownish urine. And what's happened is that muscle is dying and releasing its pigment into the circulation, and that pigment is toxic. So, and so that's called pigment nephropathy, and it's toxic to kidneys. If you get a horse that's locked up and the urine is discolored, you put an IV catheter and you flush him the best you possibly can, and he can get over it.
Yeah.
But if he goes into kidney failure, that's a real toxic component. The myoglobin from the muscle, which causes the myoglobinuria, you know, kills the kidney cells, and they don't regenerate real well. So the kidney's not a great organ for regenerating. So, and other things that horses will do, they'll either be stiff, or they'll colic. They'll look like they're colicking. They'll go down. Don't want to get up. You'll think they're a neurological problem, and they're not a neurological problem. If you get them up, sometimes you put your hands on them, and those muscles are just as tight as they can be, and the horse is in a lot of pain to palpation. This horse I looked at, he didn't show any pain on palpation. Of course, you check them over their backs to see if they're using themselves wrong when they train, and that's adding to the myositis. It can be local or it can be generalized. This horse had no pain, but when we walked him out, he looked like he had the jitters. You know, he just, his muscles were just, you know, spastic. So he needs to, and he hasn't, I don't think he started. So, you know, they have to devote themselves to working through it and try and find all the possible things that they can do for him. And again, they may, it could be as simple as giving him some acepromazine to open those blood vessels up. There's a lot of other things that people do, and of course you see all kinds of supplements and gimmicks that are...
It's funny you brought bringing that up today, because we were sitting out here clocking earlier this morning, and a filly worked, and she came back, jogging back. And you know, you could see it coming. And I don't know if they got all the way back to the barn or not, but, you know, it looked like every step was getting worse.
Well, those kind, if they can get them back to barn, give them some butorbanamine right away, get the inflammation settled down, and if they look like they're fairly bright and alert and they're not in danger, then you want to start gingerly hand walking them to keep them limber, you know. But now some of them you can't do that.
Yeah, we had a filly used to type really bad, and we would just put her in a stall and put a blanket on her, you know, or whatever, you know, if it was winter time, and just let her just let her stand there until it wore off, basically. And give her bute, you know.
Well, and we got other things that I'm not smart enough to give a definitive comment on. But, you know, we've got massage therapists now, and we've got these electrical blankets, and we've got all kinds of things to improve or realign their their body. But anyway, I can remember the epitome of realignment was that there was a mare years ago that the insurance company paid for from the owner. She was a claim. She was in liver failure. And they had a guy in New Mexico that they found that if he would call twice a day, $80 per call, and he would tell you where to hold the cell phone to realign her liver energy. And I kind of said, well, that's it now.
Okay, Doc.
All right.
On that one, we'll let you go.
So.
All right. See, Dwayne wrote you a little note down there.
Yeah, he did. He said, Ursel's. Oh, well, that's awful nice of you.
What's that?
Well, it's, you know, maybe helping to get the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance going. And
we just make those announcements whenever you...
Yeah, we could talk about it once in a while. And
sure, anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you give it to Jackie, anything, you know, that you all got announcements to make, you know.
Yeah.
We can't make it up. We have got to have a little help. Fax us something or email us something, Dwayne, okay? All right. Okie doke. Well, opening day at Presque Isle, Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by De Hare. Shipped in to easily win the $100,000 inaugural stakes, and just a couple of days earlier, 14, a 3-year-old colt in the first crop by Invisor, won a 1-mile maiden special at Calder by an eye-popping 13.5 lengths. And we will be hearing more about 14 soon. Gypsy Robin won the inaugural by 4 lengths under a hand ride to post her third stakes victory. She won Keeneland's Grade 2 Beaumont Stakes in a previous start, and the sorority at Monmouth last year as a 2-year-old. There are other first crop runners by Invisor to keep
an eye on, besides 14, for instance, the Holy Invisor, has won 3 in a row at Parks by a combined 20 lengths. High Compression broke her maiden by 14 and a half lengths at Delaware in her first start around 2 turns. Midnight Vader has won an allowance company and placed in 2 stakes. The list just keeps on growing. Both De Hare, a grade 1 stakes winner with sensational speed, and Horse of the Year Invisor, stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about my good friend Ralph Quillen at Quillen Tack down in Bourbon County. He's got a great tack shop down there, the best tack shop in Kentucky, maybe anywhere. I'm sure that they make and sell more halters. They ship them all over the world than any other tack shop in the country. Oh, about 20,000 a year go out of there. What few that we get, that's where we get them. Of course, he takes care of Michael Blowing over at Old Friends, and Michael puts a name tag on them and lets them wear them for a couple of weeks and then sells them, I think. Michael's a hustler, as you well know. But Quillen Tack, Leather and Tack, as like I say, it's in Paris. It's a great shop. Got a wonderful gift shop. If you got a kid that's a horse lover or something in there, take them in or let them look things around, look it over, and pick them out something for their birthday, something like that. It's great. You can get your leather belts. You can get your keychains, just about everything you need. And, of course, the best halters made are right at Quillen Tack. Easy to find them. They're on the south side of Paris there. You're coming in from Lexington, going into Paris. Just keep going straight, and you'll come to a the bypass, which is on your left. You just keep going straight. Go to the third stoplight and look to your left, and that's where you find Quillen Leather and Tack. It's such an interesting place to go in that they even have tours stop by there now. Quillen Leather and Tack. It's QUILLIN.com. And it's
American Produce Record CD.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Spring at Last covered over 270 mares in his first 3 seasons at stud. Those who came to inspect him like what they saw. They like what they saw in his first foals and kept right on sending quality mares to him. Now his first foals are 2-year-olds, and once again they're attracting positive attention. Spring at Last is a grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,139,000. The day he won the grade 1 Don at Gulfstream, he missed the track record by just 2/5 of a second. He also went abroad and defeated a field of international milers in the grade 2 Godolphin Mile. And sprinted a mile 1:33-2 in New York. In fact, he was never beaten going a mile. And he was equally adept on dirt and turf. In short, Spring at Last was a runner of exceptional ability, and he's siring individuals that look and act like runners. By topside deputy, Silver Deputy, Spring at Last is a half-brother to the grade 1 stakes winner Sharp Lisa and grade 2 stakes winner Sharp Susan out of Winners Gone by Dynaformer. Stands for $7,500 doing a full stands of nurses with a 5% discount if the fee is paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy and Jenny Barnett at Windstar Farm, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I believe I have Steve Moody with us now, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is compiled by BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services. No stakes today up at Churchill, Steve, but it's got to be a good gambling race up there.
Well, the I guess, yeah, we got the feature race.
Put those mics on.
Okay.
If you want to hear this.
That's a optional claimer, $80,000. $60,000 purse, fillies and mares, 3 and up. And it's a, you know, for a short field or so, it's a real well-matched bunch. You can make a case for just about everybody in here. Maybe toss one, but everybody else, I think would not be a surprise. I went round and round on this race. I finally settled on the 3 horse. Distorted Love. Helen Pitts as the trainer, and Miguel Mena has the mount. This horse has a has a 3-for-30 overall record, which normally would not get much attention from me, but all three of those wins that this horse has have come at Churchill, and certainly she does her best running there. She's made some progress in her last couple starts. Comes off of a good effort in the 60 sales up at Hawthorne. Was second up there, and then came out of there with a bullet work at Churchill. And so it looks to me like she's maybe sitting on a big race today. And since she has an affinity for the Churchill surface, I'm going to give her the edge. She's kind of a late runner. I think she'll settle probably back near the back of the pack in the early part of it, and then come rolling late. And I'm looking for her late run to get her up in time. Another one to the favorite in the race is the 4, Fleeting Lady. She's my second choice. Just didn't fire on Oaks Day. She was in the La Troy Inn. That was a very tough race, and that was her first start off of a layoff. She may have needed that one. I think she has a right to improve today. Dale Romans has got her, and he's been winning. He's been winning races. His horses have been running well. So he's got Jesus Castanon, who rides for him regularly aboard. So I think this is the horse to beat if she moves forward off of that race on Oaks Day, and then the bottom horse, Snugs and Kisses, came back and won her last time out for Tom Amos, and she's stepping up the ladder, which is always a positive sign. And she's got a little bit of speed in a race that's not really has much of it. So I think she's going to be fairly close to the pace, and I think certainly she can hang on to get part of it. So we're going to go 3-4-6. That will be in the 10th race at Churchill.
Okay, who do you like in Preakness?
In the Preakness, Ursel, I went for Went the Day Well. I thought that I know everybody thinks Bodie Meister is going to just go out and get this easy lead and just gallop around there, but I just don't think they're going to let him just totally get away from him. And I think that, you know, he's run two huge races back-to-back. I mean, two weeks ago he ran just a tremendous race in defeat, and that was coming off of a huge race where he won in Arkansas. So maybe after two big races, you know, maybe he might not be at his best if he, you know, regresses a bit. Certainly the Derby winner could come right back and win again. Would not be surprised at all at that. But I just thought Went the Day Well had a, you know, he had a horror trip in the Derby, broke bad, and was way back in the early going, much further than he likes to be. I think, you know, if he gets out of the gate today in a shorter, you know, less bulky field, I think he'll be a lot closer to the pace. He galloped out after the line right with the winner on Derby Day. So I think he'll be within striking distance turning for home. I'm going to give him a chance to run him down. Better price. He's 6-1 in the morning line. So I took him on top, the Derby winner second, and the Bodie Meister third.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm running to the bank. Thank you, Steve. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And you can get that, get it online, of course. Just go to brist.com. I think they sell them in Churchill, just about anywhere they sell a daily version. Thank you, Steve. All right. Well, Harlan's Holiday stands for a stud fee of $25,000. That's because he sires runners, and the most precocious of his major stakes winners to date is Into Mischief.
In the Mischief, won grade one stakes as a trio, came back at three to win major stakes, sprinting 7 furlongs and 120 and one to do so, and a place in grade two stakes for earnings of nearly $600,000. In fact, he ran 1-2 in every start of his career. In the Mischief stands for $7,500 to win a full stands in nurses, and his first crop two-year-olds are receiving excellent reviews. So are the first foals by Lion of David, which is arriving this year. Lion of David's a grade one stakes winner by Lionheart, a successful son of Taylor the Cat. Both Lionheart and Taylor the Cat are ranked among the top 20 on the North American sire list again this year. Lion of David whipped Super Saver in Dublin in the grade one Arkansas Derby, and he stands for $7,500 doing a full stands in nurses. In the Mischief from the Lion of David, stand at Spendthrift Farm, home also of Arch, 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 Malibu Moon, Notional, Patio Prado, Temple City, Tisway, Tis Wonderful, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ed Toffee. Always ask about possible breeding incentives, and the number over there is 294-0030, and the website is SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, let's see, where in the hell am I now? All right. Oh, you scratched out my bris thing. Okay.
You already played it.
Okay. He has to keep me in line there, Jerry. Well, the Equine Savings Program is easy to use and saves you up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from industry leaders like Toro and Exmark. That's a pretty good markdown, 28%. And you can reach Equine Savings several ways. They got a 502 number. It's a Georgetown number, 502-863-6000. And toll-free, it's 877-905-0004. Or go to equinesavings.com. It's a simple program, a simple pricing, and one straightforward price for everybody. No coupons, no hassles, just the best prices that available, and doesn't cost you anything to join. And they give back to the industry. Part of the money that their clients pay goes straight toward TRA and TOBA. And you can also save on farmpaint.com. We just had our fences painted at my little place down in Bourbon County. And Arbico Organic Pest Control, Commonwealth Technology for your copiers or faxes or scanner needs. It's Equine Savings, locally owned, gives it to the back to the industry, and they give you the best value for your hard-earned dollar. Once again now, they answer the phone 7 days a week. It's 502-863-6000. R 877-905-0004 toll free, equinesavings.com. We have Jerry Assinger on here with me. Did I pronounce your right name right?
Yes, sir.
Well, how about that? I usually screw everybody's name up, including my own. But I'm going to have you on with me in just a second. I'm going to plug the winners out of here and take it up to the top of the hour, and then we'd start you right after the break there. And we have had so far from the Thoroughbred Center 37 winners in the first 18 days of this month. Pretty good, huh? And since last week's show, the following trainers are saddled winners: John Langemeyer, Marco Castaneda. And Marco's wife, Bonnie, is doing much better, I understand. Sherman Wilkinson won with Vanilla Man. Steve Casey with Sluwater Slough. Eduardo Caramoy had back-to-back winners. He had two winners. And last night at Mountaineer, Tommy Short saddled a winner. What was that thing's name? Hopeful Bandit or Hopeful Benefit? Or I can't read my own writing. Well, anyway, won. Won the first race at Mountaineer last night. What are you laughing at? So that's pretty good for the month. So if we keep going up, that's two a day. If we do two a day for the rest of the month, we'll have over 60 winners out here. That's kind of hard to keep up, though. Let me take it up to the top of the hour, and I'm going to get Jerry on. Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, Florida, and Vinery, New York. Vinery has a highly qualified staff and state-of-the-art facilities to provide the finest care for your thoroughbreds. Whatever your equine needs, boarding, breeding, sales prep, sales, breaking and training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services, Vinery is equipped to do it the right way the first time. Stop by the farm and talk to John Gasper, Grant Williamson, Francis Relihan, or Steve Castanola. Talk to Francis. She's a whole lot cuter than those guys. And talk to them about your goals.
and to have some fun and excitement, ask about Vinery's very successful racing partnership program. It's a program that's unique in its simplicity. For late booking mares, call Vinery Kentucky at 455-9388. Stop by the farm to inspect the stallions. You're always welcome. And check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Mark Valesky, winner last Saturday, the Grade 2 Peter Pan at Belmont's a three-year-old colt by a proud citizen. Believe you can, winner May 4, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks is a three-year-old filly by a proud citizen. Went the day well. Winner of the 2012 Grade 3 Vinery Racing Spiral Stakes and a fast-closing fourth, beating just 2.5 lengths in the Kentucky Derby, is a three-year-old colt by a proud citizen. He goes today in the Preakness. Vamos a Galipierre, winner this year of the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes and a champion two-year-old filly and Grade 1 Stakes winner in South America, is a five-year-old mare by a proud citizen. Ms. Ida, winner of the 2012 running of the Alan Lacombe Memorial at the Fairgrounds, is a three-year-old filly by a proud citizen. Trickmeister, winner Thursday of the $90,000 Van Handlingham Stakes at Belmont, is a five-year-old horse by a proud citizen. And Fiddler's Patriot, winner yesterday of the Jim McKay Turf Sprint Stakes at Pimlico, is a six-year-old horse by a proud citizen. I had a hard time keeping up with this horse. Proud Citizen is book full at Airdrie Stud, as you might assume. And it's the home also of the Stallions' Badge of Silver, Brother Derek, Divine Park, Flashy Bull, Haydensfield, include Is Stan, Majestic Perfection, and Stevie Wonder Boy. For more info and possible breeding incentives for late booking mares, call the farm, 873-7270. Check the website at airdriestud.com. Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud, where the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul.
Righty, well, we're starting the second hour of this. I don't know where my wife ran off to. She was showing some people around, and I hope it didn't mug her. I've got Jerry Essinger with me, who owns War Horse Place. Get a little closer to that mic, Jerry. Just yes, scoot the chair up. You want a Coke or something?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. War Horse Place over on Kearney Road. Is that right?
Yes, sir. 4425 Kearney Road, right next to the Vinery.
Yeah. How long have you been over there?
We moved there, Ursel, in 2002.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that close to George Arnold's old place?
Right next door. Actually, Bill Wolford's between us.
Oh, Bill is, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you got a good neighbor there.
That's right.
Yeah. So you've been over there since 2002. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
My wife and I are from Ohio and lived in Dayton, had a small farm there, and always wanted to move to Kentucky, so be careful what you wish for.
Well, there you go. Was your family in a horse business or something up there?
My father and my mother both had horses my entire life, and the same way with my wife, her father and mom had horses.
And thoroughbreds?
No. No, just horses.
Just horses. What did you do, just learn to ride or something?
No, like? My dad had Arabs. He had quarter horses. He had walking horses. He had Shetland ponies.
Oh,
he,
my God.
He had Hackney ponies. He tried all the breeds.
Tried everything, huh?
Except thoroughbred, so I thought I'd pick up and go.
Well, you moved up on your dad. Well, that's fun, though. Would you start riding when you were young or something up there?
Yes, my wife and I both started riding when we were less than 6 years old, I'm sure. I don't remember the exact time I started.
What were you riding?
My dad bought me a pony called Starlight, a little Welsh pony.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember being alive without Starlight.
Is that right? Did you show or something like that?
Yes, we showed 4-H shows and Trail Road and just had a ball as a kid.
Now, what part of Ohio is this?
We lived in Waynesville, Ohio, close to Dayton.
Close to Dayton?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your wife from there, too?
She's from Youngstown, Ohio, but she was a pilot and flew for Airborne Express out of Wilmington, Ohio, so she relocated down to Waynesville. And
a commercial pilot?
Yes, sir.
She was?
Yes, sir.
My goodness, I didn't know any lady pilots.
Yeah.
How'd you meet her?
She brought a horse to my barn to board. I had a little boarding operation there, and we got together right there at the barn.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Love at first flight.
That's one way to put it.
Right. Well, that's fun. And she was boarding a horse with you.
Yes, sir.
And did she move down there close to those at that time?
Or? Yes, she had relocated into the area. And at the time, I was playing polo. And she decided she liked polo, and away we went.
Both of you played polo?
Yeah, we played polo for over 30 years.
Is that right? Do you still play, Terry?
I play a little bit in the winter now, but I'm trying to transition into racing, and I'm finding out it's a lot harder to win a race than it is a polo match.
Well, you play out at the horse park?
We did. I don't play in the summer anymore. I just play in the winter in Florida.
Oh, you go to Florida now?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We got a little training facility, a thoroughbred training facility, right next to the polo fields in Sarasota.
Oh, that's a nice area in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that sounds like a nice way to live. Yeah, 2003, you decided to move down. Well, how'd you get into thoroughbreds? Just thought you'd try it? Or?
Well, probably through polo. In polo, you use thoroughbreds. A lot of them are X-race horses that are converted to polo. We also imported horses from Argentina as well, but Most polo horses in the United States are thoroughbreds.
Mm-hmm. Now, am I right? Tell me a little bit about it. Do they have to be a little smaller?
Well, no, not necessarily. My wife likes a bigger horse because when she plays against the men, it gives her a little bit more leverage. Mm-hmm. I happen to like a smaller horse because I don't like to bend over too much. But they're all sizes and all varieties, but they tend to use thoroughbreds because of the cardiovascular capacity.
Uh-huh. Now, how many do you have different teams polo out here now?
Yes.
You play on a team, is that it?
Right. There's four players to a team, and you play seven periods. A period is called a chucker, and it's a lot like hockey on horse, or more like soccer on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
There's six 7-minute periods in a game, and you switch horses every period.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have at least six horses to play a six-chucker game.
Okay. I've never seen a polo game in my life.
Well, yeah.
I know they've got some out there.
Yeah, they've got about five fields, I believe, that at the horse park. The Man-O-War field is the front field.
I don't believe Man-O-War played in polo.
No. He might have been a little hard to stop.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, that's fun to talk to you about that. Yeah. I don't know anything about the game.
Yeah.
And It looks like it'd be dangerous to me, you know, swinging those clubs around like you do. What do you call them, mallets?
Yeah, they're called mallets, and it can be dangerous. There's different levels of play. The players are rated from -2 to a 10 handicap. The higher the number, the better the player, and the games are rated by handicap. So, as an example, if you played a 4-goal game, each player could be rated 1 goal, no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, normally, if you play tournament polo in Florida or Arizona or California in the winter, you hire pros to play with you so that you can build the kind of team you want to put on the field.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask you, what's your rating?
My rating was 1 goal, but I think they moved me down when I got to be about 60 years old.
Well, that's no fun. Well, that's good. Well, what are you doing over at on your farm over there now, man? Are you breeding, boarding, selling, or what are you doing?
We're doing a little bit of everything, Herschel. We have a stallion, as you know. His name's Catalfa. We have client mares, client yearlings, client weanlings, and so forth. We have our own mares. We have two-year-olds in training. Try to do a little bit of everything, a lot of sales prep.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, right now we're finishing up the breeding season.
Yeah. How many acres you have over there?
175.
Oh, that's a nice-sized place.
It's all we can handle.
Well, that's enough, especially when you're going to mow. But
That's fun. Oh, now you're training some horses out here right now. These are homebreds?
Yes, they're all homebreds. Most of them are Catalpa babies. I have one Bernstein here.
Mm-hmm. That's your stud horse, Catalpa.
Catalpa. He's a full brother to King Mambo, and I guess that's what he's known mostly for. We imported him from South Africa, where he stood of all places, Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was very successful over there.
Yes, he had four small crops, and he had three champions out of those four crops. He had 17 stakes winners, 9 graded stakes winners, and he only had about 25 mares each year. The mm-hmm. crops are smaller there. Interestingly enough, Zimbabwe is run by a kind of a thug dictator called Mugabe. And the reason Catalpa became available is Mugabe started to confiscate the racehorse farms in Zimbabwe. And where Catalpa stood, they learned that the farm was going to be taken over by the government. So they shipped Catalpa out in the middle of the night to Johannesburg. And he was owned by a syndicate, and the syndicate members couldn't agree as to where to restand him in South Africa. So they decided to put him up for sale while he was in quarantine. So they just kind of broadcasted the fact that he was for sale through several continents. And we got word and had to move kind of quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, has he been fairly well received here?
He's been very popular. His first year here, Herschel, he didn't get here until March. Couldn't breed because of a quarantine until late April. So we kind of had to rustle around and find out what mares were left over that year, and we bred 60-some mares.
Well, that's good.
And then the next year he got 139, and I think the next year 126, and he's averaged over 100 for each year.
Well, what his first foals are, with 3-year-olds or 2-year-olds now?
Yes, he's got some 3-year-olds and some 2-year-olds now. The 3-year-olds, I think he had about 47% winners from starters. And we were pretty proud of that, considering that short crop. That was a stub year for him getting started.
Yeah. Well, that's not too bad. No, that's pretty good. I mean, see a short crop. I remember when my dad was used to stand some horses over here many years ago, they wouldn't breed 47 mares to him.
Yeah,
he limited his book to 30. He stood spy song, and they limited his book to 35.
Yeah, it's changed a great deal from what I understand.
Ooh, now you can add a figure, you know, a one in front of that 35.
Exactly.
Let me take a little break. I'll get right back to you, Jerry. I want to ask you a few more things.
Thank you.
What did I do with my commercials here? Here we go. Well, he sired 5 stakes winners, including a champion 2-year-old filly in his first crop. His 11% percentage of first crop stakes winners is number one among his first crop peers, better than those of Medaglia d'Oro, Candy Ride, Spitestown, Pleasantly Perfect. Sent to Europe, he has already sired an impressive 2-year-old winner there this year, just won the other day. He won 5 graded stakes, including grade 1 stakes at Churchill. He earned nearly $800,000. He's by noted sire of sires, and he's from a superior stakes family. That's Stroll. Fee, $5,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses. Stroll's first foals since his return to the USA are yearlings, and watch for them at the upcoming sales. And if you have a late-booking mare, call Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm, 233-4252, and inquire about possible special consideration. Spoils by Pulpit, sire also of the leading sire Tappet. He stands for $125,000. Flatter's fee again, $5,000, when the foal stands in nurses. For more information, check the website at Claiborne Farm. com, and Bernie's number again is 233-4252.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek, and the Clay Ward Agency. That's a winning combination.
Well, last year, first crop yearlings by Henry the Navigator sold for an average of over 113,000 at Keeneland. Overall, he ranked second only to Curlin among first crop sires. And weanings from a second crop average 190,000. So, it goes without saying that Henry the Navigator is siring good-looking foals. Now, keep in mind that Henry the Navigator won Group 2 stakes and placed in Group 1 stakes as a 2-year-old, and that he matured into a classic winner and a champion miler at 3. He won the Classic 2000 Guineas, defeating European champion New Approach and Breeders' Cup Classic winner Raven's Pass. The Group 1 Sussex, again, over Raven's Pass. And he beat him again in the Group 1 St. James's Palace stakes, all at a mile. He was also named champion 3-year-old in Ireland after he won the Group 1 Irish 1,000 guineas, or that's 2,000 guineas, Ursel. Then in his only start in the USA and his first on artificial, he was a closing second to Raven's Pass in the 10 Furlong Breeders' Cup Classic. One of more than 90 stakes winners by classic sire King Mambo, out of champion Sequoia by Saddler's Wells. Henry the Navigator has all the qualities needed to become a top sire. Stands at Coomore's Ashford Stud. See the website at coomore.com. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coomore. All right, I'm talking to Jerry Assinger of War Horse Place, and Ed was going to ask you, have you ever been racing over in South Africa over there, Jerry?
No. I would have loved to have gone over and seen Catalpa before we bought him, but we didn't have that luxury, and since he's been here, I've been pretty busy.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a good friend of mine, Barry Irwin, and he's very high on South African racing, you know.
Yeah, he's bought a number of horses over there out of South Africa. And I understand it's very inexpensive to race there. You can have a horse trained for about $400 a month.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. I'm sure that he races some over there.
Yes, I think he does.
And he's brought some good ones over. Of course, he's about probably, I've known Barry since back in the, I guess, 70s. I'm telling your age now, Barry. And mine, anyway, and he used to write for the Blood Horse when I first met him.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Excellent.
He's a journalist, and he's done about as good as anybody, you know.
He's been very, very successful.
Knows what he's doing.
Yes.
If I was going to get in a racing syndicate, it would have to be Team Valor, because he's somebody in trust, you know.
No question about it. He's been very, very successful.
Very much so. But he brought some good horses over here from South Africa. I think Hawaii. Yeah, Bull Hancock brought a horse from South Africa. It was a very nice stud horse over here named Hawaii.
Talking about bringing horses from South Africa, it turned into quite an adventure for us when we bought Catalpa. Subsequent to sending the money over, we found out that you can't export a stallion, a breeding stallion out of South Africa to very many countries. In fact, we couldn't find a country that would take him. After being scared to death for several days, we found an island off the coast of South Africa called Mauritius, and we shipped him there, and he was quarantined there for 40 days.
Good Lord.
And once we got the blood work at Mauritius cleared, the Netherlands said they would take him. We shipped him to the Netherlands for another quarantine. And at that point, they said, if he comes through France, we can ship him to New York. So we shipped him to France for another quarantine, got clean blood work. From there, he went to New York. When he got to Kentucky, the state vet said, we've got to quarantine him again. In all, Ursel, he traveled 120 days. And when he came off the van, I thought I was looking at a skeleton.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Probably they didn't feed him much in 120 days.
No, they're very wary of feeding him much in the case of colic. So
yeah, I guess so.
So it was quite an adventure.
Yeah, gee whiz, I'm sure he didn't appreciate that too much. Yeah, well, okay. Do you sell in the market now, your yearlings or anything like that?
Actually, there's been a few sales. I think a weanling sold for $100. We had a yearling sell for $100. Another one for $90,000. I don't know offhand what his average is, but most of the people who breed to Catalpa breed to race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing as well. I don't think we've sold any of our Catalpas. They're all on the farm or over here at the training center at the moment.
Yeah. How many you got here now?
We've got 5 Catalpas here, and probably 5 or 6 will be here in a couple months.
Okay. You've got one of the new concrete barns that Keenan built.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, they're nice barns, aren't they?
Yeah, they're lovely barns, well-equipped, and I'm right next to the gap and having a ball.
Yeah, well, good. Have you ever trained before?
No, I've never trained before, other than polo horses. We've probably trained 100 or so of those.
They better be fit.
Over the years, and conditioning a polo horse, I don't think it's too much different than conditioning a racehorse, at least at the early part. I'm learning as I go.
Well, don't we all?
My head's not quite flat on top yet. But
Well, have you run anything yet? You haven't been out here very long. When did you move out here?
I came here after being in Florida. I ran a couple at Tampa Bay in Florida, out of Sarasota, and then we had a starter yesterday. We didn't do any good, but we had a starter. It's my first starter in Kentucky.
Down to Churchill?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's plenty of tracks to run around, you know.
Yeah.
There's Indiana Downs. The purses are good up there.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's almost like running to Churchill, though. You get the same trainers up there.
Right, it's the same group, and I'm figuring out how you can put a lot of miles on a truck pretty quick.
that's for sure. What does your wife think about you doing this training, Nancy?
Well, she's all for it. We do everything together. She pretty much runs the farm while I'm running around with these racehorses in a truck and trailer, but... my wife and I do everything in partnership, and she's a hard-working lady.
Well, good. That's great. Are you all having children?
No. I have one child from a former marriage.
Okay.
We have none together.
Yeah. All righty. Well, that's great. It's been fun talking to you. I appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you for having me on, Ursel.
Yeah, that pony, it's a good-looking pony you've got. It was a brand-new saddle you come out here.
The pony's about 15 years old, and he's scared to death of that starting gate.
You're kidding. We'll take him over and school him.
I need to, don't I?
Yeah, put somebody else on him.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, Jerry, thank you for coming by. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be seeing more of you around here. Oh, where'd you get the name Warhorse?
That was actually part of our farm. Was part of Northridge, as was the Vinery and Hillendale.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to learn that the part we bought was called the Warhorse Division.
Okay.
Everybody around town referred it to the Warhorse part of Northridge, so we just thought we'd keep the name.
Okay. Yeah. Did you see that movie, by the way?
No, my wife went to New York with a friend and saw the play before it was released as a movie. And I have not seen it and feel bad about it because I'd love to see it. I guess I'll get
I was disappointed in it.
Were you?
Yeah.
I've talked to a number of people, Ursel, that thought it was real good.
Well, you watch it and see what you think.
Okay, I will.
The horsemanship in it wasn't too good.
I see, okay.
And some things happened in there that, you know.
Yeah, not quite believable.
Okay, well, just, you know. Well, for even a simple thing like the guy's plowing this field.
Yeah.
And... instead of plowing, yeah, he plowed up and down the hill, you know. Well, you know, I mean, so, you know, everything's going a road, you know.
Yeah, that's not good farming, is it?
No, it's not. So, anyway, maybe I'm too picky, my old age.
No, I think that's pretty fundamental.
Okay, all right. Okay, Jerry, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Ursula.
Oh, it's fun to have you on. I'm glad I got to know you a little bit better.
Thank you.
All right. I've heard nice things about you, by the way.
Oh, my.
Yeah, all right. Okie doke. Well, Empire Maker has climbed to the top of the 2012 sire list through the first 4 months of the year, according to stats published in the Blood Horse. He ranked number one. Listed among his five 2012 graded stakes winners is the brilliant Bodemeister, the likely favorite in today's Preakness. First defense is by leading Sire and Bridle Song out of a half-sister to Empire Maker. His dam is the exceptional race mare Honest Lady, a half-sister not only to Empire Maker, but also to the outstanding but ill-fated sire Chester House. Like Empire Maker, a grade one stakes winner of nearly $2 million, and a grade one sire. Honest Lady by Seattle Slough won the grade one Santa Monica Handicap, the grade two Eight Gleam, the grade two Distaff Breeders' Cup Handicap, and the grade two Santa Inez. And she took on the boys to run second in both the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and Grade 1 Metropolitan. Honest Lady, some kind of a runner, and so was First Defense. Winner of the Grade 1 Four Goal, the Grade 3 Jiper, in the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes. First Defense was a brilliant sprinter with the ability to carry a speed around two turns. Stands at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 winner and Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, I'll see if I can keep up with this thing. Where have you been?
I'm here with the family, Simon and Gabby Keemer.
Yeah.
And Ellie.
Hi, Ellie. I've met Ellie before. Out here on the clocker stand. Okay.
Katie. Katie's behind me, and we went over and met. We went everywhere on the farm. They got to see all kind of horses, and their hands got all slobbery from feeding them.
Okay.
Did you get to feed them treats?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she got a horseshoe in her hand, a racing plate in her hand.
Yeah, and
very nice.
Matt got them toy horses. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that is nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. We saw a baby horse that was 4 days old.
I petted a baby horse that was 4 days old.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
You better call Michael. He lost a horse over there and couldn't get...
Okay.
So get in touch with him.
I will.
But you can give him directions. And,
yeah, they've got directions,
okay.
And they're going to go, so...
Well, I'm still doing commercials.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to see that.
I'm coming down to Macaulay's, and it's hard to keep up with it. Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the grade two Peter Pan was won by Mark Valensky, a colt, bred and raised by Brad and C. Jones at Airdrie Stud. And that same day at Hollywood Park, the grade three Lazaro Barrera Memorial went to Drill. And Drill was bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions. Both Mark Valensky and Drill were raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. Then earlier this week, the group two Pre-Cleopatra in France was won by Delala, a filly bred by the Aga Khan. And the Van Landingham Stakes at Belmont went to Trickmeister, bred by Burton C. Jones and Tim Thornton. Delala is scheduled to go next in the Group 1 French Oaks, and what a coup that would be for the Airdrie Stud to have raised the winners of both the Kentucky Oaks and the French Oaks in the same year. Week after week, the performance of runners raised by Macaulay Associates drives home the fact that you can raise a top-class racehorse on Macaulay products. So join the winning team. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I want to say something about my good friend Jitz Fair, Jim Fitzgerald, if I can say it. I think Jim went fox hunting. Anyway, over at Jim owns Knott Griffin Farm, a neighbor of mine down in Bourbon County. Of course, he's... graduated from the Irish National Stud. He used to work with Dr. Michael Osborne, John Williams at Spendthrift Farm, Lee Eaton. Great horseman. Came up under great horseman and is a superior horseman himself. It's not Griffin Farm. He's owned that for about 17, 18 years now. He's got another farm close by named Harper's Island. And they recently developed that farm. The two farms are 10 minutes apart. They do everything. Jim does boarding, sales prep, sales, that's public or private, doesn't make any difference, rehab, got quality farm help, and if you're thinking about getting into the business, or if you're in the business, you're not too happy, give him a call. This is a guy that's been there and done that, and he's very, very successful, and he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice, and it's somebody you can trust. Here's his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N farm.com. Jim's number is 987-8032.
Run that body one more time.
All righty. You won't give me a rest?
Yeah. Did you do the KTA yet? I'll do the announcement.
I'll do the KTA right now.
Well, I don't want you to, you know. Listen, that's the nicest family.
Mm-hmm.
We went over and talked to Don Combs, and they got their picture taken in front of the Derby pictures.
Oh, good.
And they had the saddle sitting there, and all the kids sat in the saddle, and they all stuck their feet in the stirrups, and they got their little whips, and they're waving them and stuff. I mean, it was too
cute. Did you show them the filly, or had she gone?
Oh, saw the filly, petted the filly. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, she is.
And
pretty thing.
And pretty. And her half-sister.
Miss Jane Ann.
Miss Jane Ann.
Yeah.
And they got to pet, I think, one or two others, and he gave them mints to feed to the horses, and that was all fun. And then we saw Chris and a couple of the jockey school kids came.
Oh, did you see?
Yes, and they
came by here, by the way.
Yeah, for High Hope.
Yeah.
So we told them all about High Hope and stuff, and then... they got the picture taken in front of Nara, you know, with Chris and the kids, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt took us over, and they saw yearlings, and they saw a couple
Matt
of older
Howard.
Horses. Yeah, Matt Howard over at Gentry Farm. And we went down, and Matt was going to show them some older foals who wouldn't come up, of course. Anyway, we went down and got Toucher, and then we went. He has a four-day-old baby.
Oh.
And he went out with the mayor, and he held the little four-day-old baby, and they got to pet it and got their pictures taken. I mean, it was fabulous.
Oh, good.
Matt's a good guy.
Okay.
That was fun. They had a good time.
All right.
And now they're off to old friends.
Off to old friends.
Yes.
All righty. All right. This is for my good friend, David Schweitzer, over to KTA. They just ran two graded stakes last weekend, but Kentucky Breds won both of them. A friend of mine from Massachusetts used to say both of them for both of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where he was. That's where he was from. He was from Boston, but he would say both of them. And he would abbreviate everything. If we're going to go eat, instead of saying, let's go eat, he'd say, squeet.
Oh, I thought that was...
Couldn't understand a damn word he said.
I knew a guy down in the mountains who told a friend of mine, tell Harry Moucher. Harry was her husband's name. Tell Harry Moucher. Finally, she gave up, went in, she said, Harry, the guy said, tell Harry Moucher, and it was come out here.
Oh, okay.
Harry.
Well, anyway, the grade two Peter Pan at Belmont Park went to Mark Valesky. He, of course, is by proud citizen who's got eight stakes winners this year. Two more this week, one on Thursday and one on one yesterday, one at Belmont and the other one at Pimlico. Lord have mercy. And Mark Valesky was, of course, bred by Brereton C. Jones. He owns him. And that proud citizen is probably the hottest horse in North America right now. It's hard to I write commercials, of course, so for Brary, and this week has been kind of trying. I've had to rewrite that commercial three times. The Laz Barrera Memorial Stakes out at Hollywood Park went to Drill, and Drill was bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions. And let's see, what else do we have? The Martyr Stakes at Belmont, Aquitania won that, bred by Mrs. Arturo Peralta Ramos. That's Jackie Ramos, of course, as everybody knows. The Decathlon Stakes, Decathlon, of course, that champion sprinter, bred by the Knuckles brothers down at in Midway, Kentucky. Ponzi Scheme won that one. Ooh, I know about that name. Ponzi Scheme was bred by Crossroads Farm. I don't really know who Crossroads Farm is. The Hastings Handicap out at Emerald Downs, $50,000 stakes out there, was won by Class Included. That's a four-year-old filly by Include out of a Sky Classic mare, bred by Michael and Amy Fureborn. And let's see, that's five stakes winners this year for Include, including, of course, grade one stakes winner Include Me Out. And let's see, the Derby Trial Stakes at Lingfield, winner was Main Sequence, bred by Flaxman Holdings.
Lingfield, that's in England.
I said it.
The old country.
Yeah, the old country. And that was a light racing week, but as far as graded stakes and stuff goes. So that's from the KTA.
All right. Now I will do some announcements, or do you have something else?
Go ahead. I need to rest.
Okay, that was fun though. That was those people. I have to say, were nice enough to donate money to St. John's Center for Homeless Men in Louisville, and that's how they got here.
Oh, good. I may end up there someday.
Yeah. Sooner than you think.
Spoken like a lawyer wife.
All righty. The annual Monet Rerun eBay auction will take place May 27th through June 3rd. You go to eBay for this thing. Now, Monets are spelled M-O-N-E-I-G-H. They take paint and canvas, and they put the paint on the horse's nose, or they give the horse a paintbrush, whatever, and they make colorful scribblings. And
better than some of this modern art, I've seen.
I'll tell you. And sometimes they dip the horse's foot in and stomp on it. It makes a great decorative thing. And they're always famous horses. So proceeds go to care and maintenance of the reruns, OTBs. For more information, contact Mary Simon. She is Monet Mary, M-O-N-E-I-G-H, Monet Mary at InsightBB.com. Her phone number is 533-8055. Or Google M-O-N-E-I-G-H and put in a bid. They're real colorful. They're a lot of fun. Let's see, what else? Oh, tomorrow, of course, is High Hope. Now, I'm sure Chris came over and talked about High Hope.
Forever. Yeah,
forever. Good for Chris. You do it, Chris. Let's see, what else is going on here?
You brought Mallory with him, though.
Yeah, she's a nice girl.
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
She was real cute to the little kids that came. You know,
she can flat ride, too.
Yeah, excellent. So, there's horse shows going on out there. They're getting, you know, kind of winding down. But they've had the Olympic wannabes out there. What's today's date? 19th. There's one more day, today and tomorrow. It's called the Kentucky Spring Classic, and they've got one more show after this, and I don't know if they earn points or what, but somehow, however they score it, they pull the Olympic team, the Olympic equestrian team from this group, and they are going to London, England this summer for the Summer Olympics. They are giving adult English riding lessons at the horse park. If you're interested, you can call them at 233-4305. If you can't remember that, you can just call the horse park. That works. That's fine. Now, the Kentucky Dressage Association shows start May 24th through the 27th. That's next week. And then there's the Big Arabian Do. That is June 9th. It's a special performance by Sylvia Zerbini, star of the acclaimed equestrian spectacle, Cavalia, with her herd of Arabian horses. And they go out and do things without tack. She tells them to run around or do whatever, and they are very well trained. Anyway, that's June the 4th through the 9th. What is today, the 19th? Yeah, it's the end of the spring show, and tomorrow is High Hope, and you know there's a Northside RV sale starts tomorrow out at the campgrounds. You want to go out and wander through those expensive babies?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, Ursula, thank you much. Let's see. May Day's horse trials start next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the Kentucky Invitational High School Rodeo. Oh, boy, a lot of stuff going on this time of year at the horse park. Tuesday, May 29th, is that this coming week or the week after? It's the week after. Thoroughbred Farm Managers meeting is Tuesday, May 29th at Keeneland. Featured guest is Dr. Larry Bramlage. So, oh, he'll be interesting. He graduated from Kansas State, Matt. Matt's out there listening, from the College of Veterinary Medicine, got a Master of Science from Ohio State. When you talk about vets and where they go to school, the same names pop up all the time. Auburn and Ohio State and places like Kansas and stuff like that. There's about a half dozen, maybe 10, really, really good vet schools. And that's where all vets all come from. They are, they're super. Our guests ask us about the vets, and we explain to them about Rudin Riddle and Haggard, you know, best vets in the world. And so anyway, he'll be there. That'll be fun. He's in the Jockey Club. He is a member of the Jockey Club since 2002. So that'll be fun. We intend going. This radio show is going to be up on ErcelEllis.com, E-R-C-E-L-Ellis.com. Thanks to our friends at Lexington Computer Clinic. They're out at Hamburg in the Meyer building. And they're, you know what happens when you go out and you have them repair stuff or you take lessons? They give you lessons for $20 for half an hour. When you're sitting at home and something goes wrong and you don't know what to do and you want to take a baseball bat to it, all you have to do is call them. And they'll say, oh, okay, press this or do that.
And they'll mail you a baseball bat.
Okie dokie. Now, they're very helpful. And something happened last week. I couldn't get to show up. And it was a stupid mistake. They pull up, click, and they say, oh, okay, you didn't X, Y, Z, and that's fixed. Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, you need guys like that on your side when you fool with computers. Their number is 263-7374. Now, let me see if there's anything else going on. Oh, yeah. Said High Hope. We talked about High Hope, I'm sure, endlessly. Okay. Toba, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, is having a breeding clinic here in Lexington, June the 1st through the 3rd. To register, go to toba.org. Locally, their phone number is 276-2291. This is a fun announcement. The Special Olympics has returned to the Kentucky Horse Park, and that's got to do with CKRH riding for the handicap Hope. So there's a lot of stuff going on at Riding for Hope. They're going to have camps and a horse show and a Mindy Monday session, and lessons are going to be at 10 o'clock and so on and so forth. It's just outstanding, the Riding for Hope. It's wonderful. People do it. So call the horse park, and they'll give you the number. That's the best way to do it, tell you the truth. If your trailer needs repair, call Sally Vann. Who else would know but the pros at Sally Vann of how to take care of your trailer? I had a friend that did it. She had her fenders repaired and a mat replaced and brakes checked and bearings packed and da-da-da. So please as punch, because they do a great job. So give Sally Vann a call.
Well, opening day at Presque Isle, Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by De Hare, shipped in to win, easily won the $100,000 inaugural stakes. And just a couple of days earlier, 14, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Invisor, won a 1-mile maiden special at Calder by an eye-popping 13.5 lengths. We're going to be hearing more about 14 soon. Gypsy Robin won the inaugural by 4 lengths under a hand ride, posted a 3rd stakes victory. She won Keeneland's Grade 2 Beaumont Stakes in a previous start in the sorority at Monmouth at 2. There are other first crop runners by Invisor to keep an eye on besides 14. For instance, Holy Invisor has won 3 in a row at Parks by a combined 20 lengths. High Compression broke her maiden by 14.5 lengths at Delaware in her first start around 2 turns. Midnight Vader has won in allowance company and placed in 2 stakes. List just keeps on growing. Both the Hare and Grade 1 stakes winner with sensational speed and horse of the Invisor stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Mort Shirazi trains out here. Mort was by a little bit earlier today. Mort is a high-percentage trainer. He's been out here for a number of years now, and, well, he's been in the horse business all his life. In fact, his family's been in the horse business for over 100 years. Now, Mort isn't quite that old, but he was many pounds ago. He used to ride races. And not only that, he's a nice guy, and he's a UK grad, which moves him up in a lot of people's estimation around here. He spent 10 years up at Swifty Farms. In the last 5 years, he was a manager there. And he's also has a bloodstock agent, Shirazi Bloodstock. He's got background, Lane's End, Payson Stud, and his agent. Well, let me give you how I spell his name, because that's Shirazi Bloodstock. S-H-I-R-A-Z-I. And I'll give you his website down here in just a minute. He's located down in Paris, incidentally, and it's a full-service bloodstock agency. He does just about everything that bloodstock agencies do. Got a reputation for being able to work with problem horses, and he's an experienced trainer, as I said. And little Holly Dunn, you know, one of our EMSs, EMTs, they call them out here, our medics. Anyway, she has a quarter horse that he's going to break for.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Said he would be glad to do it for her. So.
Oh, that's good.
And so Mort's a nice guy and a good horseman, and he would like to upgrade his stock out here like everybody would, but he's got, as I say, experience working with problem horses. Give him a good horse, and God only knows what he can do. And because he is a high-percentage trainer, most everything he runs into money, which is important. Here's his website. His website is... it's bronkbusters.com, B-R-O-N-C-B-U-S-T-E-R-S mortsrazi.com. And that's Mortsrazi, and his phone number is, it's an 859 number, 351-2360. Well, going to Kukuro, a 4-year-old filled by Sprite Town, won the Genuine Devotion Stakes at Belmont on May 12th. Then 3 days later, some of the parts, a 3-year-old colt by Sprite Town, $100,000 Tom Ridge Stakes at Presque Isle. Bred by the partnership of Sienna Farms and Windstar Farm, going to Kukuro is a typical Sprite Town. She's fast. Sprinted 6 furlongs and 9 flat to win the Genuine Devotion. She's the 5th 2012 stakes winner by Spitestown. Some of the parts, bred by Farfellow Farms, also sprinted 6 furlongs and 109. And he is the 6th 2012 stakes winner by Spitestown. Ranked 7th on the North American sire list last year, Spitestown's a top 10 sire again this year. Eclipse Award winner Spitestown by Gone West stands at Windstar Farm, home also of the stallions Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Colonel John, last year's leading sire Distorted Humor, Drosselmeyer, Holland's Holiday, Hold Me Back, Sydney's Candy, Spring at Last, Summer Bird, Super Saver, Tis Now, U.S. Ranger. If you've got a late booking mare, contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at Windstar Farm. Telephone number over there is 873-1717, and they'll do their utmost to accommodate you. And the website, windstarfarm.com. My friend Wayne Mackey loaned me a book a couple of weeks ago, and it's a wonderful book, and it's written by the son of Commander J.K.L. Ross, who was the owner of Sir Barton, the first Triple Crown winner. And this thing is so much fun to read. It goes back and gets to talking about match races and so forth. And here, I'm going to read you some excerpts from this book. And I'm going to get a copy of it for my birthday.
Yes, you are.
Hint, hint.
Although I went to Amazon and they had one copy, it was $947.
I hope to God you didn't buy that one.
No, I didn't. And then I went to another place they had for $25, and then I got a notice, oops, we're out, and I found one more, and it was more than $25, but it wasn't anywhere near $900.
Well, this was
so
published.
These are golden words, boy.
This, they must have been. This was published back in the early 1950s, and I'm going to just read some excerpts from it because it's fun to read. Between 1850 and 1900, there were at least 87 match races, and one of the most memorable of these was the renowned three-horse battle staged at Pimlico in the autumn of 1877. In that, Pierre Lorillard's Perrault defeated Ten Broke and Tom Ochiltree by 4 and 14 lengths, respectively. For this spectacle, Congress adjourned, and a special train was run from Washington to Baltimore so that the lawmakers could be present at the old hilltop course that day. The next year, Ten Broke was the victor in a memorable battle against Molly McCarthy. Lucky Baldwin was said to have lost a cool million on the mare in that one. Then there was a race between Harry Bassett and Longfellow at Long Branch when all the North Bank backed Bassett and the South stood for Longfellow. And Domino's two incredible dead heats, with Dobbins in 1893 and with Henry Navarre in 1894. And the sensational defeat of May Hempstead by W.C. Whitney's Admiration at Sheepshead Bay in 1899. In the present century, there have been 41 match races run, but only 21 of these have been of any significance. Before Auralus and Omakaya met, there have been only 4. Ethelbert had beaten Jean Benard in 1900, and Endurance by Right had won over Hino in 1901. In 1910, Novelty had taken Textile at Saratoga, and Panzeretta had lost to Iron Mask in 1914. None of these had been especially lustrous, however, and these gave immediate credence to my father's words of caution, lest the race between Alice and Omar Khayyam prove a farce. What that word of caution, incidentally, that match races usually never panned out the way people thought they would. From their records, Alice and Omar Khayyam were beautifully matched. Alice was owned by August Belmont and was bred by his owner in France. He was an extremely impressive-looking black colt by the French Derby winner Negofol out of Hourglass, she being by the Roxanne mare, being by Roxanne, whom Mr. Belmont rightly believed to be one of the best sires of brood mares. In addition to breeding Owlis and countless other famous thoroughbreds, Mr. Belmont had the distinction of being primarily responsible for the existence of Man of War, whose dam was also a daughter of Roxanne. Owlis was actually foaled in England, at the famous Chilwick Berry Stud, where his dam had been sent while carrying him. Later, she was mated with Prince Palatine, and that accomplished, Hourglass and her soon-to-be-famous son proceeded to America. Curiously enough, Omar Khayyam was also a foreigner. Bred and foaled in England, he was sent to these shores after his purchase at the Doncaster yearling sales for an equivalent of $1,500 by Frederick Johnson. Omar Khayyam was a striking chestnut, and next to purchase was the handsomest specimen of a thoroughbred I have ever seen. His head, among other attributes, was perfect. He was by the good sire Marco, and his dam was Lisma, a daughter of Edward VII, sterling performer Persimmon. I'll skip over here, and then we'll get to the match race, if I can find it. And so the eagerly awaited day for the match race arrived. Opinions as to the ultimate result were more or less equally divided, although I believe the man of the street leaned slightly toward the more glamorous Omar Khayyam, basing his argument on the fact that Hourglass had twice finished behind him. Then, too, Omar had won the Kentucky Derby, and that feat, as it does today, carried a shade of extra conviction with her average race score. The majority of turf experts, particularly those who had watched the realization, favored Hourglass. Thus, the so-called smart money was wagered upon him, and, in consequence, Hourglass went to the post at odds of 3-4, Omar Khayyam at 13-10. It was a brilliant day, and the autumn foliage was at its most colorful. 20,000 people filled the clubhouse, stands, lawns, and center field rails to overflowing. It was obvious that it was wartime. There were uniforms everywhere. My father wore his. He was a lieutenant then. Almost every prominent turf figure was in attendance, and while Congress did not adjourn, as it had done 40 years before, to see Perot's victory at Pimlico, it was a solid representation from the nation's capital. Unhappily, there was one notable absentee. This was the owner of the favorite, August Belmont, who was at that moment on his way to France as a major in the American Expeditionary Force. Peculiarly, while Omar Khayyam's owner was among those present, I doubt that he actually witnessed the running. Mr. Vial was such a highly nervous individual that he invariably found it impossible to watch any of his horses perform. He usually stood in the lower section of the clubhouse with his back to the track and had either his trainer or a friend stationed at his side to report his entry's progress. He was like a few other well-known owners who were simply unsuited temperamentally to the excitement of the turf. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Vial died of a heart ailment in 1920 at the age of only 37. My father was always able to watch a race with no visible trace of emotion. Mrs. F. M. Rose Clark and R. T. Wilson were notable in this respect, too. But Clifford Cochran, who occupied the box next to us later at Saratoga, was completely the opposite. Mr. Cochran, who owned the 1925 Kentucky Derby winner Flying Ebony, as well as the Preakness winner of that year, Coventry, would stand on a chair and shout encouragement to his horses at the top of his voice from flag fall to finish. Mr. Cochran was nothing, however, compared to the Duke of Westminster. After his English Triple Crown winner, Flying Fox, had won the 2,000 guineas in 1889, His Grace, usually a sedate gentleman, let out a piercing view halloo, which nearly led to his ostracization. His cry, according to a commentator of the Times, re-echoed through the stands, to the shocked amazement of everyone. Apparently no member of the Jockey Club had ever before committed such an atrocity. For at least an hour before post time, the small paddock was so jammed with spectators, eager to see the two competitors saddled, that many of them were unable to get back to the stands in time to see the race. My father and I had observed these horses in their workouts and at close quarters while they cooled out the preceding morning, and so we wisely decided to remain in our box. It was there that we got the news, which added further to the general turmoil of the day. Just prior to the saddling of the horses, the jockey board in the infield, in those days riders were not listed in the race programs, was suddenly lowered, and the name of Jimmy Butwell was removed and replaced with that of Frank Robinson. It had been announced many days before that Butwell could ride Hourglass and that Everett Hayes would be aboard Omar Khayyam. Now great confusion ensued. In his memoirs, Hildreth mentions the incident, but he gives no reason for his dramatic last-minute decision to change riders. He was quoted as saying that he was dissatisfied with the ride Butwell had given him on one of his mounts early in the afternoon. but I did not hear him then or afterwards make any comment on the substitution, nor did I ever ask him. I do know, however, that no one among the 20,000 at Laurel was more surprised than Frankie Robinson himself, who had no inkling of Hillsworth's plan until he was notified in the jockey room 10 minutes before post time by Hillsworth's assistant, Frank Hackett, to put up the maroon and scarlet Belmont colors and weigh in for the race. Robinson was the Harry Payne Whitney contract rider at the time, and as well as being a most likable and upright young man, was one of the finest in his profession. In 1916 and 1918, he was the Jockey of the Year. About 2 years after his mount on Arliss, he was killed in a shocking racing accident in which his horse fell while leading the field, a tragic and saddening loss to the turf and those who knew him. The horses pranced out onto the track. Arliss was first a shimmering pure black, and then Omakayam, a golden chestnut with a stripe on his face and one white stocking and one white sock, points that gave pause to the superstitious horsemen who believed the famous rhyme, "One white stocking, ride him for your life. Two white stockings, give him to your wife. Three white stockings, give him to your man. Four white stockings, sell him if you can." The moments of tension passed somehow. How much further have I got to go here? not too far. The moments of tension passed somehow, and the horses went into the chute at the head of the stretch. The start was perfect, with the horses leaving the barrier on exactly even terms. Strangely, after a few strides, Omakayam, the inadvertently slow beginner, dashed to the front and was leading Arliss, the speed horse, by a good half length as it passed the stands for the first time. Haynes had obviously been instructed to try and steal the race by setting as swift as early a pace as possible. And so Omakayam covered the first quarter in 23 2/2 seconds, and the next in 1/5 of a second slower, making the time for the half 47 seconds flat. At this point, Omar increased his advantage to a full length. He appeared to be running well within himself, and it was also apparent that Arliss was being hard-held by Robinson, who was also riding according to orders. There was no doubt that these directions were to keep off Omar's pace, but not too far back until the final stage, when Arliss would be asked for a terrific burst of speed to herring him past his opponent in the last 1/8 of a mile. The Laurel track had never been known as particularly fast. It was composed mainly of heavy, sandy loam, which was especially deep at the first turn. Considering this, Omakayam was traveling a fantastic clip. Those horsemen holding the stopwatches, as my father was, realized full well that this pace could not continue indefinitely. Haynes sensed this, too. Therefore, during the third quarter, he eased his mount slightly to 25 2/2 seconds. Robinson followed suit, but continued to keep Arliss under a snug hold. He made no move. The daylight showed between Arliss and the flying chestnut. The fourth quarter was run in 26 seconds flat, 1:38 2/2 for the mile. Now Robinson, his own mental timepiece clicking, instinctively felt that the pace had slackened, perhaps a shade too much. The time had come for him to make his move. Steadily, as they rounded the final turn into the stretch, Arliss decreased the gap separating him from the pacemaker. At the 8th pole, the 2-gallon thoroughbreds were running on even terms. Haynes, perceiving Arliss at his side, made no effort to increase the pace. He wanted to conserve Omakayam speed for the final challenge from Arliss, which he knew would have to come in the last few hundred yards. For a few seconds, they seemed endless. After passing the 8th pole, the two competitors, now stretched to the limits of their endurance, fought on. Neither gave an inch. For a fleeting and breathless moment, it looked as though Arliss would make no further gain on Omakayam, and that the result would be a dead heat. But in that final 1/16 of a mile, Arliss gradually and inexorably drew away, an inch or two only with each stride. Omakayam fought on and gamely, but he had nothing left to meet the incredible finishing surge of the big black colt. And so Arliss, refusing to be denied, crossed the finish line a length in advance of stout-hearted Omakayam. There's more, but I've run out of time. Well, Holland's Holiday stands for a stud fee of $25,000. That's because he sires runners, and the most precocious of his major stakes winners to date is Into Mischief. Into Mischief won grade one stakes as a 2-year-old, came back at 3 to win major stakes, sprinting 7 furlongs and won 20-1, and to place in grade two stakes for earnings of nearly $600,000. In fact, he ran 1-2 in every start at 2 and 3. Into Mischief stands for $7,500 to win a full stanza nurses, and his first crop 2-year-olds are receiving excellent reviews. So the first foals were Line of David, which arrived this year. Line of David is a grade one stakes winner by Lionheart, top son of Taylor the Cat. Both Lionheart and Taylor the Cat are ranked among the top 20 on the North American sire list again this year. Line of David, Whip Super Saver, and Dublin in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby stands for $7,500 doing the full stanza nurses in the mischief. In Line of David, of course, stand at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ned Toffee, and see the website at Shadwell at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Equine Savings Program is easy to use. Saves you up to 28% on commercial mowing equipment from industry leaders like Toro and Exmar. You can reach Equine Savings at 502-863-6000, toll-free 877-905-004. Visit them at equinesavings.com to learn more. It's easy. No, it doesn't cost you anything to join. It's straightforward price for everyone. No coupons, no hassles, just the best prices on mowers like Toro and Exmark on farmpaint.com. Go to that website. Arborco Organic Pest Controls. Once again, those numbers now are 502-863-6000, locally are 877-905-004, toll free. Equine Savings, no coupons, no dues, no hassles, just real savings at equinesavings.com. See you next week, and you can pick us up from our website, UrsulaEllis.com.